Hi, I'm Julianne Bachelier with Bloomberg Law. Today we're going to be talking about legal technology and how it's shaping law school curricula. I'm thrilled to be joined by Beverly Rich, who is a lecturer in law at the University of Southern California Gould School of Law and the perfect person to discuss this topic. Beverly is a doctoral candidate in strategy at the USC Marshall School of Business. Her research focuses on the impact of innovation in the legal industry, with a particular emphasis on the use of AI in contracting. Prior to beginning her PhD, Beverly practiced litigation in Los Angeles and worked as a consultant on internet policy and cybersecurity. Beverly, thanks for joining me.
Really happy to be here. Thanks, Julianne.
So you have a really interesting perspective on this, having experienced legal tech in the capacity of both a practicing attorney and in your research on its strategic and business impact. So I'm curious how these real-world advancements translate into the classroom. How is legal education changing in response to the rise of technology in the legal industry?
Yeah, I think there have been a lot of changes recently, and they start kind of at the practice level. So as these legal technology tools become more frequently used in practice by, you know, practicing attorneys, whether they're in litigation or on the transactional side, then, you know, that trickles down eventually into legal education. So basically, to summarize, you could say that, you know, it's motivated lawyers to pay more attention to technology, something that they've kind of traditionally, in many ways, tried to ignore. So, you know, an attorney's job is to offer clients the best service possible. And I think that now that includes considering what technology solutions might be out there, like what might be helping them provide the best representation possible. That includes understanding what sort of legal technology tools are out there. And also, I would argue, you know, understanding a little bit about technology and innovation from a kind of a more macro or broader perspective. So, you know, in understanding legal technology tools, I think that, you know, legal education needs to provide some sort of foundational understanding of kind of, you know, what e-discovery provider might be the best fit for a given firm in a given case, based on, you know, the specific needs of that firm and what they're trying to provide in terms of representation for their client. In terms of understanding technology and innovation, I think that, you know, students who graduate from legal education programs, whether it's an LLM or JD or a master's program, you know, they increasingly might find themselves working on deals that involve tech companies. So, you know, it's not just understanding the legal tech tools, it's understanding specifically what the client's needs are in the tech industry or whether it's in the startup ecosystem, and then subsequently being able to deliver the best representation possible based on understanding the frontier technology that's out there and the industry dynamics that exist in the tech industry and in some of the startup communities.
So with this background that you have and starting to think about the framework that maybe we can use to present this to professors, how can we prepare them for this? What are the top types of emerging technology that students will need to be familiar with when they graduate? And what can professors really do now to ensure that their curriculum is up to date and that they're helping their students prepare for the future?
So I think that we can break this down. There are many programs out there at law schools all around the country that are starting to focus more on legal technology. And they're doing this from a practical perspective, from a theoretical perspective, and also in many cases incorporating partnerships across law schools and whether it's engineering schools or in some cases business schools, in some cases both. And so I think kind of looking to those, some of those programs that have been out there, some of them have been around for a while, you know, since 2012 or so, or even earlier, looking at some of those programs and thinking about, you know, the value that they add to the students that graduate from them and kind of selectively borrowing what makes sense. Professors are always very willing, at least in my experience, always very willing to share syllabi and share tips, teaching tips and what works and what doesn't. So that's from a very practical perspective. But you also asked about what are the emerging technologies that professors should be aware of and should communicate to their students. And I think to cover that, I would break it down into kind of what is out there now and what's coming, what's at the frontier, what's, you know, right there on the horizon that's going to be around really soon. And I think that from that perspective, there, you know, e-discovery is something that is very widely used now. There's a range of tools available in e-discovery. Some have been around for a long time. Some are being developed now using, you know, frontier machine learning algorithms to help, you know, detect certain parameters within the documents that they're trying to search for. And so, you know, thinking about e-discovery in a very practical way, I think is something that's important for students to understand, and how different e-discovery tools might be better suited to different problems that they have as practicing attorneys. And then things that are on the horizon, a lot of legal technology now focuses on machine learning tools. And so, you know, there's a huge amount of hype about artificial intelligence and or AI and machine learning. And I think that what's really important and what I've tried to focus on in my teaching is an understanding of what AI is and how and what sorts of problems machine learning solves. So, you know, AI is an umbrella term that's thrown around a lot, and machine learning falls under the umbrella of AI. And we hear a lot about machine learning or ML because it is at the frontier of artificial intelligence, basically. And so a lot of the legal technology tools that are out there now incorporate machine learning solutions. And what's kind of to boil it down and bottom line it, what I think is really important to understand is that machine learning solves prediction problems. And so when attorneys are thinking about understanding how legal technology solutions might help them and where legal technology might be used within their practice, whether it's at a law firm or in a company, thinking about the tasks that they do and problems that they're approaching and thinking about what are prediction problems, I think is a good way to think about where machine learning might make a difference in their practice. So, you know, if they're, for example, if they're thinking, if they're a transactional attorney that's thinking about drafting a contract, and you, if you really think about, you know, what goes into drafting a contract, you're trying to align the clauses that you're putting into the contract with your client's interests, with the company's interests, and you're trying to predict what is in your client's best interests, what sorts of clauses will be acceptable in this contract. So you can kind of see how certain many legal problems, in fact, can end up being prediction problems. And so when you think about it as a prediction problem, it should, you know, trigger a little thing in your brain that says, hey, this might be something that will eventually be automated using machine learning. And so I think thinking about the future of legal technology in that way, framing it around, you know, machine learning solves prediction problems. What are the prediction problems that I face in my job? Might be something that I think it's a helpful tool for law students and law professors to think about as they consider legal technology in teaching and in practice. And the third technology that's kind of or class of tech tools that I think is out there and it's not quite used in practice is blockchain and smart contracts. And I think that there's also been a lot of hype around blockchain and smart contracts. And I think that providing kind of an overview as to that technology as well is something that will be helpful to law students down the line. So just kind of, yeah, providing the broader landscape of technology tools that are currently available and then ones that are, you know, available now, but will probably get better. And then tools that also kind of will be around maybe in 5, 10, 15 years from now as well.
So Beverly, I just want to take a step back because I'm thinking about some of the things you just talked about. I'm curious how students even get exposure to these types of things in law school. Like e-discovery technology, for example, seems like something that's very familiar to first, second year associate at large law firms. But have law students even heard about that? And can you speak to the ways that students are introduced generally to these types of legal technology tools before they even have the chance to use them in practice?
I think that's a great question. And I think that increasingly law schools are becoming aware that, you know, because these products are being used a lot, that students should get exposure to them prior to being first year, second year associates and being kind of thrown into the deep end and saying, figure this out. So there are a number of schools that have programs that are incorporating more hands-on legal technology tool exposure, basically. In the class that I taught at Gould, we made sure to kind of That was the focus of the course, basically getting hands-on exposure to technology, including e-discovery tools. So we had different, I had different providers come in each week and give students a demo of their product. The students had access to the product so they could take it, you know, home and work with it on a problem that they might have. And then we also did, you know, kind of limited sort of work hypotheticals or kind of worked through problems in class that used the technology tool itself. And overall, I think they found it very useful just to even kind of understand the capabilities that some of these machine learning products or e-discovery products have and how they might supplement or complement their practice as they become practicing attorneys. I think that, you know, the ABA has a duty of technology competence that they put forth in 2012 as part of their model rules. And I believe as of now, 38 states have adopted their individual, you know, state level duty of technology competence. And so it's something that is really important for law students and, you know, associates and attorneys at all levels, basically, to be aware of and to understand how these tools can complement their practice and can, you know, help them do work more efficiently and, you know, more and in many cases more accurately than they would be able to do on their own. So I think it is really important to get the hands-on exposure during law school. And that's something that more courses are focusing on, but I still think there's room for improvement. Oh, and the other thing I want to mention is that I think that, you know, for law professors, something that's really important is that many of these tech tools are, you know, they're developed by startups and companies that are smaller companies. And so I think that's something that's really important to note is that many times the startups are often willing to offer demos. And so I think for law professors who are interested in getting students to actually use these tools, I would encourage them to, you know, approach the startups and say, hey, you know, maybe my students want to use this product for a little bit, see how it works for them. Would you be willing to offer them a demo? And I think that's something that they're oftentimes very, very open to. And so it's mutually beneficial. You know, the startup gets to have some new users, new exposure, and the law students get to see kind of what's on the cutting edge of technology in these spaces. So,
Beverly, I'm glad you brought up your course just because it was so much fun to come in and show all the Bloomberg Law analytics tools to your students. It was a great experience.
It was great.
I'm curious, you know, what insights you might have drawn from that, or if you plan to offer the course in the future and any ways you might be thinking about modifying it as new technologies come out.
I think that there are always opportunities to modify and, you know, think about what additional areas of legal technology I'd want to highlight in the course. My focus and a lot of my research is on contracts and machine learning and automating contracts. And for example, there are some really interesting new tools out there that help automate contract negotiations. So they use some predictive technologies to basically automate contract negotiation for pretty routine contracts at this point. But that would be something, for example, that I think is really interesting. And I would be interested in incorporating in the future. So I think that as the field evolves and as we see, you know, more startups come up, there's been increasing investment in legal tech in the past few years. And many of the kind of bigger players in the field are getting more involved in legal tech. Like, I know Bloomberg's platform is fantastic in terms of the analytics capabilities that you offer, and many other, you know, many of the contracting features as well are really awesome. And so thinking about kind of what's at the frontier, what's likely to come in the future, given tech developments, I think is something that I always try and keep abreast of. So I'm really hoping to incorporate that more in the future. Something I'm also really interested in is working with students at engineering schools or in engineering programs that actually have the tech capabilities to build these tools, and thinking about how lawyers and engineers, or lawyers and people with tech backgrounds, can work together to make sure that legal tech tools that are developed specifically for attorneys in a variety of different contexts. So I think that those sorts of partnerships will continue to be increasingly important. And then also, you know, given my business background, kind of incorporating the business perspective on that as well, so that people understand, and mostly attorneys understand, what sorts of tools are marketable, are most easily commercialized, and how developing your tool and marketing your tool, thinking about the business perspective in that too, is something that's also valuable for lawyers.
And that kind of brings me to a point that I wanted to mention earlier. You were talking a little bit about the negative aspects of AI and machine learning, and I think that has to be part of the conversation. It's really hard to talk about technology and AI without bringing ethics into the mix. So can you talk a little bit about what ethical obligations do students have associated with technology use, and what can legal educators do to help students comply with those obligations?
So I talked a little bit about the duty of technology competence, which, you know, as an attorney, you have to provide the robust representation and capable representation to your clients. And now that includes understanding technology and using technology where appropriate. So kind of as a baseline, that's it's a pretty minimal standard. I think it could be a lot more robust. But I think that it's important to have that as a baseline so that attorneys understand that they do have to use technology and it can be helpful. Going along with that, I think that, you know, when we talk about using these tools and implementing them in a law firm or in a business, there's always some hesitancy, I think, on the part of people or potential people who are going to be using these tools when they don't understand that the tools are there to complement their work rather than substitute for the work that they do. So another thing that I try to emphasize a lot is the fact that many of these tools will not replace attorneys and that they are strictly complementary to the work that attorneys do. You know, a lawyer is highly trained and very, very capable. And I think that I strongly feel that using, you know, a tool that uses that has machine learning capabilities will only enhance the work that a lawyer is able to do and complement it and will not substitute for a lawyer. So that's something that I try and emphasize. And I think that by using the tools as well, it becomes immediately clear to students that these are tools that will be complementary and not will not substitute for the work for them as attorneys. So I think that that's very important. Something else that I try to emphasize in terms of ethics, which I think is very important whenever you talk about machine learning and AI, is that, you know, it's very much, and this phrase is overused, but garbage in, garbage out. And so thinking about what sorts of data the algorithm is using to train on is something that's very valuable. And so that's why I try and provide baseline understanding of what machine learning does and how, you know, not from a very technical perspective, but from kind of a layperson's perspective, when you're thinking about designing a prediction problem that will use machine learning to solve that prediction problem, and you're thinking about what sort of data you would use to train the machine learning algorithm, how might bias find its way into that equation, and how can you try and mitigate the bias that exists there? And that's something that I think that lawyers should think about as well. You know, there have been a number of papers on the academic side that have been written about it. And I think that it's something that people are very aware of. I don't know that there's any magic bullet solution, but I think that just being aware that the potential for bias exists when you're, that having huge amounts of data doesn't always mitigate the issue of kind of bias, basically. So I think that that's important too.
And I think your law students are really lucky to be able to take your legal technology course because it really brings everything they need to know directly to them. So my last question for you is, for students who don't have that opportunity, what can professors do and how can they encourage students to use legal technology outside of the classroom, again, before they even have exposure to it in practice?
Yeah, so I think that that's a great question. I think that professors that, you know, either don't teach legal technology or have students who are interested, but there's the school may not offer a course yet, is kind of going back to what I said, is that try and many of these companies that have legal tech tools are willing to do demos, and they're willing to give you access to the technology, to their tool in a limited environment, so you can play around with it and see if it might be something that works for you. I think that as in legal education, you know, there's many programs that are not just JD programs now, they're master's programs, they're LLM programs, and that those are things that law schools are very focused on. And I think that thinking about those, how those students might also benefit from using legal tech tools, demoing them, just any way you can basically get your hands dirty as a law student with using these tools will help you as a lawyer be able to make the strategic decision about when legal technology might help you in your practice. And then beyond that, which legal tech tool kind of offers the most robust technology solution, and, you know, being able to kind of evaluate the different merits of a given technology tool. So I think that it's first kind of exposure and hands-on exposure. And then second, having the tools, you know, understanding the technology, understanding the business case for it, to be able to kind of evaluate and choose between many of the tools that are out there in the market now.
Okay, Beverly, that's about all the time we have. I just want to thank you so much for sharing all your insights with us.
Thank you so much, Julianne. This was really great. And I'm glad that people are excited about legal technology and legal education. Thanks.
And thanks so much to all of our listeners. I hope you've enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. For additional insights on this topic and so much more, visit BloombergLaw.com.